This is the last year in the life of the Beatles, 1969. I'm Paul Ingalls with Harry Norton.
January the 2nd, 1969. The Beatles. Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr arrive at Twickenham Film Studios to begin a new project.
Hi, Ringo.
Hi, George.
Hi, Ringo. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hello. Hare Krishna.
Don't let me down.
This is Richie Unterberger, author of the book The Unreleased Beatles, Music and Film. The Beatles recorded a massive amount of unreleased music in 1969. Especially in the first month of the year, January.
Got me escaping from this zoo.
And the reason for this is because they were doing a very ambitious project. The world knows it as a Let It Be film and album now, but then it was really titled more often the Get Back album and film. And the idea had been to, at the same time, record an album, do their first live concert in 2.5 years, and make a movie, which would be a documentary of the making of this album, concluding with this concert.
See, but what he was saying yesterday, it's good, because he was saying, it's like Picasso paints, where you start from nothing, because we started from nothing, and it'll end up as a TV show.
This is Michael Gilmore. I wrote the article, Why the Beatles Broke Up, for Rolling Stone magazine. In January 1969, when the Beatles gathered, there were distinct differences between John Lennon and Paul McCartney about the fundamental reasons and purposes of the Beatles. Paul McCartney saw it as the unit had been for the last 10 years, as a creative and cooperative unit working together to discover new musical purposes. John Lennon, I think, began to see it as a more loose form unit that could gather intermittently to serve his purposes. But he was also on the verge of beginning a solo career, and he knew that.
See, it's turned out that for that, and it's not what Paul wants. Like, you know, it's his number, this whole show. Well, he's compromised, so it's actually turned into our number more than his number, that's all.
Yeah, and that's all right. You know,
it's all right, but I mean, that's what's bugging you, really, because it's a different number, you know. It's turned into a rock number, right, as opposed to a quiet number or something, you know, like that.
George Harrison, I think, had tired of the Beatles in 1966 and had been looking for some reason for the group to come apart. It's pretty evident in the documentation of January 1969 that George Harrison was a constant irritant in those sessions to both Lennon and McCartney, and became an obstructionist in the process.
We're doing a live show, and we're doing it in Arabia. It's like whoever's like been waiting to see the lads, you know, rocking again.
Where's it? Yeah.
So, like, I'll tell you what, then. I'll come in with you, as long as you get a couple of boats, like the QE2.
I think the idea of the boat is completely insane. On top of that, we're stuck with a bloody big boatload of people for 2 weeks. You know, I mean, at least you can go home from it. You can get away from it all.
The Beatles were filmed more or less almost every day that month, about 20 of the days of January.
Morning, everybody. Another bright day. Morning, Cameron.
And while they were filmed, everything that they were rehearsing or trying to record or just jamming on was caught on tape. Now, not all of it was caught on studio quality tape, but a lot of it was caught on pretty high fidelity tape that was part of the film equipment that was accumulating footage for this project. And it sounds really exciting to maybe a more novice collector, but those of us who've weeded through the hundreds of bootlegs, literally, of material from these sessions know that it's quite patchy, because you have moments of brilliance where they're working on absolutely classic songs like Get Back and Let It Be and Don't Let Me Down. But at the same time, there are just so many really half-baked jams and rehearsals and all these oldies covers, which you think would sound wonderful, of songs by their influences, Carl Perkins, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly. They often have trouble remembering the songs even, let alone playing them well.
Burn my house, steal my car, drink my lip from an old fruit jar, doing the things that you want to do, but I'll haul honey, lay off them shoes and don't you.
Now, a lot of bands would sound like this, I should add, if they've been bootlegged so extensively, if the rehearsals were bootlegged for hours on end. But when you hear the Beatles doing this, it can be kind of a trial with some really great highlights intermittently, because they're going through the same song literally 40 times in a row often, and it's great for the creative process in a way, but it's not so great for the listener.
Completely.
Yeah.
Are you going to write another? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I am, but
I
know,
I just realised there's a daft question.
I really do get
fed up. Are you going to write another?
Yes, I know, because I really do get fed up with...
January 3rd. Among the songs rehearsed on this day, Maxwell's Silver Hammer, George Harrison's newly presented All Things Must Pass, and even a Ringo original.
I've got taking a trip to Carolina. In the same. Taking a trip on an ocean liner. I gotta get to Carolina. Taking a trip on an ocean liner. I gotta get to Carolina. Oh, baby.
Hi, I'm John Spurney, a musician living in New York City. I think part of the impetus for the Get Back project was to try and get away from the drudgery of constant overdubs and big studio productions and spending hours and hours crafting a song into this big production, and to just get back to the joy of making music in the moment and the overarching creative idea behind Get Back was no overdubs, you know, just one take of the band playing the song in the room, everybody singing live.
And the idea of doing it, this thing, so that it's just us doing it and there's no overdubs or you can't get out of it, is much better, really, because you know that, you know, all the time recording, we start, you're thinking, oh, it's all right, we can do that later. Mm. So you never get even the most out of that moment, really.
Now, John, I'd like to say a few words on the subject.
I'd like to say that I like the intimate idea rather than a large one.
Yeah.
Simply because we should concentrate on the sound. We should concentrate on the sound.
Bang, bang.
Two.
I'm Richard Goldman in Los Angeles. I'm a writer, singer-songwriter, Beatle lecturer, and lifetime Beatle fanatic. Get Back seemed like a really good idea, which was, you know, getting back to the original thing where they would be, you know, much more of a live band. This would all, you know, they would be seen practicing a bunch of songs and it would end in a concert. And the cover of the record was going to be taken at the exact same location that the first British album, Please Please Me, was taken at. That's what was going on in my Beatle world of 1969, and I was kind of looking forward to it. I, you know, did not know exactly truly how much they hated each other and how horrible the filming of it was going or anything like that.
So especially with hindsight, we kind of feel like we are listening to the Beatles disintegrate in a way. And that works on several levels. You can hear that on George Harrison's songs, the Beatles, and especially John Lennon, that they're not taking those compositions quite as seriously as the Lennon-McCartney ones.
All things must pass. All things must pass away.
And George had so many songs at this point that he was waiting to record that that could not help but foster resentment. On several levels, he was dissatisfied with how things were going with the group.
So it's very simple, and we shouldn't overhear. So we just get, make sure, like,
just
we know
which way to go.
January the 6th. The Beatles are again at Twickenham Film Studios being filmed for their project. They spent most of their time on a very old Lennon-McCartney track, One After 909.
And that one, we always hated the words of One After 909. Baby says to John Lennon, One After 909. He said, move on, honey, I'm traveling on that line. He said, move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice.
Move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Traveling on the one after 909.
Hi, I'm Ann Powers, pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. You can focus on the heaviness and the sadness and the end of the Beatles, but there are also moments when it gets pretty playful and, you know, they do return. They do seem to want to look back at their beginnings. A song like One After 909, you know, that really has that Chuck Berry kind of wiggle to it. You just think, wow, the Beatles know that this is a last dance and they're going to duck walk right through it. And I think that's pretty cool.
Move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said he's traveling on the one after 90. She said he's traveling on the one after 90. She said he's traveling on the one after 909.
Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Rich.
How are you this morning?
A couple of days later, January the 8th, George Harrison's I Me Mine gets several run-throughs.
Castanets on that bit, you know. Yeah, that'd be...
George was both writing more songs in early 1969 than he had ever written before, and also I think he was starting to write better songs than he'd ever written before. I would agree that the two George Harrison songs on Let It Be, they're not among his better ones, and certainly not among the better ones that he was even kind of debuting for the band at the sessions, like Something, but also All Things Must Pass. But having said that, I think that ultimately it wasn't such a bad thing that those songs weren't used from the All Things Must Pass album in Beatles versions, because I just don't think, but especially when you hear them go through literally dozens of passes at All Things Must Pass, that the Beatles could have handled it as well as George did on his own. For some reason, they just didn't seem to be able to get to grips with that kind of song. Maybe it was because the very personal nature of George's spirituality coming out in a song like that, they just found hard to reflect as a group effort, as a team effort. Just like later on, I think it would have been very hard for the Beatles to do most of the songs on John Lennon's Plastic Ono album because they were so personal in a different way.
January 9th, the Beatles begin to learn Let It Be, as well as run through dozens of other old and new songs.
Let it be, it's like ours.
let it be, let it be, let it be. Oh, that's it, that's it, yeah. There's some good harmonies which are like, let it be. Shake it in the 60s. 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 Shake it in the 60s with the boom bop by Dick James. Shake it in the 60s with the boom bop by Dick James.
And so I quit the police department.
Get a job, cop!
And got myself a proper job.
Bloody about time, too, if you ask me.
And though she tried her best to help me,
it's bloody needed too.
She could steal, but she could not rob.
Can anybody tell her?
The considerable majority of the material that showed up on Abbey Road is played at some point in January 1969 during those filming and recording sessions for the Get Back / Let It Be project. She came in through the bathroom window, for instance, or I Want You, She's So Heavy, Octopus's Garden. It's widely known, relatively speaking, that Maxwell's Silver Hammer was attempted a lot in January 1969, and George and John didn't like having to run through the song so much because they weren't big fans of the song to begin with.
Tuesdays I'm a bug to me. Hello, this is Tuesday speaking. Is that Paul? I'd like to have a word with you.
I've got something of it in the garden.
I have something of interest for you. Come into... The word is go.
Ahead, George Harrison quits the Beatles. For a while, anyway. You're listening to The Last Year in the Life of the Beatles, 1969. More after this break.